If you're on Facebook, you'll understand this in one way, but also this is something that used to be in magazines a lot, and that is these personality tests that you take 10 questions and it tells you some finding about yourself. And the ones that are online now are really very strange. Some of them will say, which first lady are you? And you take this question, this thing, and it'll tell you Eleanor Roosevelt or something. Or which pop song are you? There was one recently that was, which pizza topping are you? Now, they're kind of fun, and they take up some time, but they're very, very strange. And I was reading about someone who was writing about these tests, and she said, this fascination with distilling our whole selves into a pizza topping or a pop song is not self-discovery, it's self-flattening. And she said, you know, there's a certain appeal to doing this thing, because if we can condense ourselves down to a list of related terms, like a personality formula, we can theoretically arrive at a prescription of who we are. And it feels like it will make our lives easier, and we can pinpoint and delete our inconsistencies. I'm a little uncomfortable with deleting my inconsistencies. But here is something that, it's one of those things that we kind of grab onto and we think of it as fun, but it also makes us feel like our lives are more manageable and more predictable. And I know we love that in our human lives, but I cannot believe that it is what God wants of us, to have things completely manageable and predictable and in control. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Not flat life, but abundant life. Now, in the church tradition overall, especially the Christian tradition, we seem to focus a lot of our energy on seeking a life that goes on forever, that is great in quantity. But Jesus wants us to have abundance, which tells me that Jesus wants us to have quality of life and depth and to get rid of the flattening. The idea of simply having more life is lived out in the story of Lazarus. We see this story and we often think that we're seeing a story of resurrection because Lazarus was dead. Jesus spoke, and suddenly Lazarus was alive again. And some of the sources that you read about this story will even say that Lazarus was resurrected, but actually he was resuscitated. Now, what's the difference? Resuscitated means that you have more of the same. You have that same flatness or conformity or restriction by the rules and expectations and limits of our human world. Lazarus was brought back into the same kind of life he already had. He just had more of it. But we most fully glorify God and the gift of human life given to us by God when we explore our lives and ourselves in all of their complexity, when we dare to live not only a longer life, but a deeper life than we could have managed on our own. God wants each of us to be the person we're particularly called to be, not to be like everyone else, not to just get more, not to keep on living the same life we have been living, which in some cases might be an easy and simple but flat existence. So God promises not endless life, but eternal life. A life with quality, with abundance and richness and depth. A sense of belonging, of significance, and of participation in God's purposes. So resurrection, unlike resuscitation, resurrection is a whole new kind of life. A life filled with the presence of God where we dare to do things that might scare us. Because when we live in Christ, resurrected, we transcend this life. Our life is not just longer, it is deeper. God deepens our lives instead of flattening them so that we're like everyone else. We have plenty to, add to our concept that more of something is intrinsically better. So we have to work hard to make this distinction between resuscitation and resurrection. Consumerism tells us that if you're not happy, you just need more of something. Just get more of something. Get a more expensive something. Buy more things. And so we are constantly hearing these messages that more is better. And very often when we are feeling anxious or dissatisfied or scared or worried, we do think the antidote is more. But if we ever stop and listen and look, we will realize that that seldom addresses the anxiety that we have. We've been kind of sold a bill of goods by consumer culture, and we realize that we still feel empty, even having consumed a lot of things. And so God pushes back at that and says, I don't want you to just have more life. I want you to have new life, abundant life, that defies simplistic description and flattening. The sad truth is that we even sometimes attempt this flattening in our religious life. Walter Brueggemann says, we have indeed bought in as individual persons, even as a church, in consumerism, aimed at self-indulgence, comfort, security, and safety. We live our lives out of our affluence, and we discover that all our self-indulgence makes us satiated, but neither happy nor safe. We sometimes flatten ourselves to want what the culture tells us to want instead of exploring something that is deep and risky, but abundant in spirit. We want something different than what this world tells us to want. We want resurrection promised to us by God, not a flattening of self to be like others, not a belief simply that more is better, but a deepening to find God's abundance now. As our Ezekiel story might have put it, putting flesh on those dry bones. It's easy to look for flatteners, to compare ourselves to something very simple, but we are complex beings of God. We would do better to look not for flatteners, but for deepeners. We are the people of God, people of complexity, people called to abundance. We're called to something deeper, not just more. Better, not just resuscitation, resurrection.